Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Episode 11, I think, of my podcast, and I've tried to do different things at times and get guys on who aren't necessarily just players or just coworkers, and this guy's an ex-coworker, Dan Brown of... Are you guys still the Mercury News? You're the Barry News Group slash.
I don't like change, so let's go with Mercury News.
Yeah, my old home, and somebody I always joke with him. He is my favorite writer named Dan Brown, so I think that's how you should be promoting your book. But he's here today to help promote it, and I love it. I've read a couple chapters of this. He gave it to me right before the last road trip. And the name is, I guess it's the Big 50, the men and moments that made the San Francisco Giants. Just why don't you give us kind of a synopsis of what this is. It's 50 chapters here, and 50 chapters of what exactly?
Right. Well, as we know, I mean, in the past, you know, since 2010, this whole franchise has kind of blown up in terms of the influx of greatness, the World Series championship that had been elusive for so long. You've now got three of those. So it's kind of look at this new Giants landscape when you talk about the all-time greats like Mays, McCovey, Marichal. Well, there's this new wave of Posey, Bumgarner, Lincecum that's kind of working their way into icon status in the San Francisco Bay Area.
So I'm going right to the top here, right to the, and maybe this spoils it a little bit, but I guess if you open the book, you can just go right to the table of contents and it'll be spoiled. But you have Willie Mays, number one, and then the 2010 champions, number two. Mm-hmm. So was that difficult? Is this Willie's Willie, but it also is a team that I think did something for the city that we're going to remember forever.
So you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge it by its table of contents. It wasn't that difficult. I think when you think Giants, I think the first thing you think of is Mays, and I think his greatness kind of transcends different eras, and he's still the guy in the front of the stadium with the statue.
Yeah.
He's the guy. You know, Meet Me at Willie Mays was you know, means meet me at the Giants, meet me at this experience of the Giants. And the 2010 championship team, the hardest part about that was ranking the World Series winners, because 2010 was the first and probably meant the most to the people who had waited so long. 2014 was the most dramatic. That Game 7 alone was incredible. And 2012, the journey getting there, those playoff, you know, fighting off elimination all those times, each of those World Series championships has such a distinct journey and sense of drama around them. The hardest part was putting which one where.
Yeah, I think it's just looking at it here, you have 2014 ahead of 2012, and I assume, I know you talked to me for this and a lot of other people, and I'm sure you talked to players and guys like that who have been around it. To me, I covered those two, and, mm-hmm. and that one, just what happened in Game 7, I guess is a kind mm-hmm. of a deciding factor. To go to a seventh game of a World Series makes it a little bit more iconic, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Bumgarner, and not just Game 7, but what Bumgarner did in Game 7, I think is going to be it's the Jack Morris moment. It's the moment that it's going to stand for, you know, not just Giants history, but baseball history, one of the great October performances. So that one really elevated to me. That ninth inning was so thrilling. You know, Alex Gordon running around the bases. You know, the whole city's heart stops for a few minutes. You know, just such a thrilling final script that sometimes you kind of forget about the six games that came before it, but to me that was the most entertaining of the World Series.
When you're writing this book, who did you go to? I know you've covered the Giants before. You have a history here in the Bay Area. I talked to you a little bit, but who else did you beat writers? Was it guys who covered the team, players? What was kind of the sample size there?
Yeah, you know, I had like an unofficial committee, right? You were on it. Brian Murphy of KNBR was on it. Henry Schulman was on it. And a lot of fans I know, like the real people who can't sleep at night after a tough loss kind of crowd. And the funny phenomenon with that, and I think it speaks a lot to this team, is people would say either you need to add this guy or move this guy up, but nobody ever said who to bump out or who to move down. Because there's just been so much greatness in such a short span that it's tough to fit everybody in. I can tell you the tough cuts and, you know, Kirk Reeder was a popular pick because
somebody from my childhood, definitely a big part of those teams.
Right. Yeah. He was a guy who, if you look at his winning percentage, which I saw the other day, this is Kirk Reeder with the Giants, 105-80. Tim Lincecum, 108-83. Reeder's winning percentage is a tick higher.
Yeah.
And you forget that because his stuff wasn't Tim Lincecum stuff. It wasn't Madison Bumgarner ferociousness. But, you know, he was a guy who won a lot and meant a lot, you know, in terms of the heart and soul of those early 2000 teams. So he was a tough guy to leave off. Chris Spire, who I don't really remember as a player. I kind of just missed him. But back before shortstop was a big-time offensive position, his production in that spot and his defense in that spot meant a lot to those 70s teams. And the other guy from my childhood, Darrell Evans, you know, really popular guy. Bill James has put him among the most underrated players of all time, and I guess that will still be true because he's not in this top 50, but he was a tough guy for me to leave off.
You know, this is why I love, and this is kind of it's a list way of doing it. It's become a big part of what we do, and I know people complain about that stuff at times, but part of what I love about it is you talk about somebody like Woody, and you go, you know, 105 wins, that's more than Matt Cain has as a Giant. That's more than Bumgarner will get there. But it is somebody who was around for a long time and won a lot of games. So it is interesting when you start doing these things. And just flipping through some of the chapters, you forget about a lot of what guys did and some of the guys who came through for a decade or so. So that's what things like this, I think, are a good reminder.
Yeah, and some of the games, you know, mostly we focus so much on the postseason success, but you know, the Dave Dravecki comeback game in 1989 on August 10th, 1989. Roger Craig, who was the manager at the time, said, "Look, I saw Don Larsen's perfect game. I was there. This is the most dramatic game I've ever seen because of what Dravecki went through to get back, and then what he did when he got there with those eight incredible innings against the Reds, in front of a crowd where the ovation got louder after every inning." And, you know, in retrospect, we know he eventually lost his arm. But the way Dravecki has handled himself, become a motivational speaker, recognize how much he meant to so many people, that really enhances the story even more, I think, in retrospect.
You know, I've worked with you in the past. I know how much research you do just for a feature. I imagine for this book it was a ton, months and months of going through things. I'm curious, what was one thing you learned? What was one story you were told from somebody, something that stands out, something you had never known before that ended up in this book that really surprised you or shocked you? Maybe something like you talk about talking to managers and what somebody told you there.
Well, that's a good question. Because one guy who was just kind of I don't want to say a mystery to me, but I didn't really understand his career was Bobby Bonds. We all know about Barry, but Bobby Bonds, I didn't know, you know, I didn't see him. So talking to guys like Kruko, who played with them with the Cubs, and Kuiper, who played with them with the Indians, and guys who played against him, you realize how great he was. You know, he had five 30-30 seasons, the same as Barry. And understanding what kind of player he was, you know, he had 200 hits one season. He was the last guy to do it before Rich Aurelia did it in his big season. So getting a better appreciation for Bobby Bonds was eye-opening.
And you have him up. You know, I'm going through the top 10 here. Somebody that it's fascinating to have the manager, number 9, Bruce Bochy. And I think in a lot of places it wouldn't be that way. But when you were talking to people for this book, how much did that come up? It's just somebody who shepherded through all this. Usually these things are players and games and moments like that, but this is somebody who has become iconic for what he does in the postseason.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I think one of the things that really pushed Bruce Bochy up on the list is the way other managers view him. I think he's so revered and so respected by his peers in a way that I don't think, you know, La Russa gushes over Bruce Bochy. Jim Leland gushes over him. anybody he manages against, you know, Dusty Baker, they really admire what he's done. So I think his, you know, as the manager among managers, I think he deserves a lot of credit for what he did. The Giants have had a lot of great managers over the year, but he's the guy who cracked the code and got him to that World Series championship. So I didn't have too many reservations about putting him very high.
You have the Brian Johnson home run game. Looking at that, that's something I remember from my childhood. It seems, looking at this list, and I know I heard you say this before, if you do something against the Dodgers, and the Joe Morgan game, I think, was the same situation, right, where that always seems to make a difference.
Right. I think in my original list, before I sent it to that committee, I didn't even have Joe Morgan on the list because I thought, well, they've won. You've got Ishikawa's home run. You've got all these great postseason moments. It doesn't really matter that they, you know, when they knocked the Dodgers out at the last game of 1982, they didn't win anything. It was just kind of, you know, they beat the Dodgers. Well, apparently that's enough because everybody on the committee said, you got to get Joe Morgan in there because of knocking the Dodgers out was such a great moment. And back then in the 80s, that's what counted for a highlight, you know, until the Will Clarks arrived. So, yeah, against the Dodgers, gets you bonus points and moves you up the list.
So
one other thing that I thought was interesting that when you asked about the research is Stu Miller. I knew about the All-Star game, blown off the mound or whatever the legend is, but he has one of the great change-ups in baseball history. So talking to guys like Felipe Alou, he used to play catch with Stu Miller, and said, if he threw that changeup, I couldn't catch it. It moved so much and was just so mysterious. And I think it's better if Stu Miller's remembered for what he did and why he was an All-Star in the first place, because this guy had one of the great changeups ever, and he threw it in the way that Mariano Rivera throws his split finger. He just threw it all the time.
You know, the thing about lists like this and a top 50, number one is Willie Mays, number 50 is Brandon Crawford, and the interesting thing with these things is if you do it 10 years from now, it's going to be different. If you do it 5 years from now, it's going to be different. So when you look at this, and maybe at some point you will go through and do another one and update this or something, but who on this list do you think, and talking to people and getting a sense of Giants history, who do you think is going to be much higher? And who do you think, you know, Buster Posey, number 6, Baumgartner, number 14, I think those two guys could be in the Hall of Fame one day, so maybe they'll be higher. But how high do you think this current rank, you know, this current group is going
to
end up?
Crawford's the guy who's going to shoot way up. I think I was tempted to put him higher. He's very, very close to becoming the best shortstop in San Francisco history. And I did a Niners book once upon a time, and kind of the same thing, ranking players. And Ronnie Lott was on that committee, and he saw the original list and said, bump up all the Hall of Famers, you know, give them all a bump. So from that, I always think to respect the longevity of these guys. So Aurelia, I kind of wrote this down, because Aurelia was another candidate for the best shortstop in San Francisco history. At this point, he's got 143 career home runs. Crawford's got 53, so almost 100 ahead. 574 RBIs, you know, to 284. But check back. I mean, Crawford's offense is developing at such a quick rate, and his defense is already there. He's a guy who could be, you know, top 25.
When you look, just going through some of this current team, Hunter Pence, number 26. Pablo Sandoval, former Giant, number 20.
He might drop.
He might drop. I think he's...
Yeah, he'd make a big thud when he drops.
Yeah, well, that's going to be one where his career is going to be interesting going forward. But Matt Cain, you know, better signs recently, but still has done a lot for them. So if you would do this again, how many guys... How high do you think Buster would get? He's number 6 right now. Where do you think he ends up in Giants history? And then the other guy, Madison Bumgarner, where do you think he ends up in Giants history? I know it's hard to say, but...
It's hard to say. I think that, I mean, Buster Posey could end up number 3. I think he is the...
Which would put him ahead of Bonds.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But that's not a crazy thought.
Yeah.
Because if you talk about the sheer love for a guy, San Francisco loves Barry in a way that other places don't. But... Buster's the face of this new wave and this championship wave, and he's a guy who has represented himself so well, played so well at such a tough position. I think people remember life before Buster wasn't quite like this. So he's a guy who, you know, kind of like McCovey was often more popular than Mays because he was viewed as one of San Francisco's own. Mays was the New York import. McCovey was ours. McCovey was San Francisco. I think that when you throw stuff like that into the equation, you know, the way they rank in fans' hearts, Buster Posey could pass Barry Bonds.
And if I'm not mistaken, looking at this, Madison Bumgarner is already your second pitcher. So I think he's second on the list there. So
Lincecum's up there, right?
Oh, yeah, you have him as the freak. So, yeah, Lincecum is up there. But where do you think Bumgarner, and in talking to people, what he did in 2014, how does that – I mean, that's legacy-making right there. But if you had to do this again years from now, where do you think he ends up?
Yeah, he could be top – you know, it's tough to envision somebody passing Maréchal. He was so good for so long and so – you know, he never won a Cy Young. But Bumgarner – for his postseason success, you know, that's where the equation starts getting tricky, right? Because it's not just regular season success, but what he does in October. And that's why Pablo ended up so high, right? It's not for what he did between April and September. It's for the three homers against Verlander. It's for the big series against the Royals. It's for helping bring the rings in the parades to San Francisco. I don't know where Bumgarner's going to end up. He seems to be getting better. He seems to be more efficient in the ways he's attacking hitters. You know, let's just say top 10. Safely in the top 10.
Okay, safely in the top 10. Well, Dan, this is a really, really fun book. And like I said, I think this fits really well with our time and what we do now, which is, you know, react to everything. And I certainly do it. I mean, I do my monthly recaps where I recap the top 15, 20 things from the previous month. So this is 50 players and games and moments, and I mean Kruk and Kuiper even in here, the Ishikawa game is in here, and just stories told about all of them, and just going through this, the few chapters I've had a chance to look through already, it's a really easy read, and it is one thing where I think you can kind of skip around a little bit. I know I went into a couple of the chapters of guys who I've covered and learned some things there, but I want to give you a chance to, I appreciate you coming on here, and where can people get this? How can people get it? Aside from me, who's special and got one. So,
yeah, you can be Alex Pavlovich. Yeah. You can have a podcast. You can go to Amazon.com and look for The Giants Big 50 by Daniel Brown. The publishing company is Triumph Books. They have a website at triumphbooks.com. Or you can email me, dbrown@mercurynews.com. I'm curious, where would you rank? You covered all three World Series. How do you rank them? 1, 2, 3?
Well, 10, I was like an intern, basically, so just kind of hanging out, doing live chats in the rain. So that
third.
One, but I think that one, no, that one will go. I do agree with you a little bit. It's really interesting going through because 12, you obviously have what happened in Cincinnati and Barry Zito and Justin Verlander, but it did all kind of go downhill from there. It you know, there was drama, but I think 2014, the way that ended, it people don't talk about enough, and I think we will years from now, but the way that game ended and what Bumgarner did to finish that game off, I think is something that we'll always look back on and we'll always be high on these lists. I do want to say one thing. When people go and find this and go through it, I encourage them to find Dan Brown on Twitter. It's still Merk Brownie, right?
Merk Brownie.
Find him on Twitter and argue with him because that's what these books are good for. So argue about what he missed, what he did right. It is just an interesting thing to go through top 50 people in moments for the San Francisco Giants. And I think, you know, it's an even year, so maybe you'll have to update this pretty soon. All right, thanks, Dan.
Okay, thanks, Alex.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss! The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.